To Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, merry meet everybody, and welcome once again to Stirring the Cauldron here on the Pair X Radio Network. So for those of you that were listening to the opening song, it was called Cemetery Angels by Midnight Syndicate. And this is appropriate for the show tonight because I have a couple of cemetery angels joining me. But no worries. These aren't the Doctor Who type weeping angels, so you can feel free to blink as necessary during the broadcast. Now, the first cemetery angel, my guest tonight, Ann Kerrigan, who our friend Ron Kolick affectionately refers to as the blonde bombshell. She's the co-host of Ghost Chronicles, The Next Generation on TojiNet and here on Pair X. And is the proprietor of Fabulous Face Painting. And angel number two is Barbara Duncan, also known as Ceiling Cat in the Pair X chat room. She's the co-host of The Paranormal View here on Pair X. And because she and Anne have one particular thing in common, they both suffer from tapophilia, which, not to worry, because it's not any kind of physical ailment. So there's no need to run out and get a set up a GoFundMe page or anything like that to find a cure. But by definition, taphophiles love cemeteries, gravestones, and funerals. So because Anne and Barbara are so in tune together on this particular subject, I just decided that Barbara could be the co-host. Anne is a great guest. And I can kind of put in my two cents, but I can kind of sit back and listen to them too. So, Anne, Barbara, both of you, welcome.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Take two headstones and call me in the morning.
There you go. Exactly. It's going to be one of those nights, guys. but let me start out by saying that I find cemeteries to be very peaceful and calming. I enjoy hanging out in them. I love the history they hold and the reading of the tombstones. That kind of gives us a brief glimpse into who these people might have been. And I've always been that way. I've never been frightened of them. So, Anne, where did your passion for cemeteries come from?
Well, I grew up in a very small town in a 200-year-old colonial home. And we were kind of on the main street. So I really didn't have, like, you know, a nice street to ride my bike on and play on. But there was a cemetery right across the street and pretty good sized. And I would go over there and play and ride my bike and play with my friends. And I just grew up. That's where I grew up. And it never bothered me. I enjoyed it. For me, it was a fun place. And I didn't really get into the whole gravestone scene until probably coming close on 8 to 10 years ago now. But I've always felt also at home and at peace in cemeteries as well.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, gonna ask you the same question.
I grew up in a real small town, but. You know, you always know the kid who was the kid of the funeral director who lived above the funeral home, and the wonderful kids who did. I knew a couple of kids who did stone rubbings, headstone rubbings, mm-hmm. and had the most incredible set of stones from back east with all the skulls and the really intricate artwork on them, and then coming out here. There's a beautiful cemetery out here that's more like a park. And just walking through there, one day I just decided I needed a camera. And I just started taking photos and haven't stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just kind of grows on you sense, you know. And I'm going to go back on my word for a second about cemeteries being peaceful and calming, because there are times that we can get affected. Case in point, I was at Hollywood Forever a few years ago doing a video promo for something that I don't even remember what it was now. And so I was standing right behind this big upright tombstone, and it was kind of, you know, almost my height and had a flat top. So I kind of leaned on it like it was a podium. Mm-hmm. And we began the rehearsal, and that went well. And when we set up again for the real take, the minute my arm settled down on the back of the tombstone, the top of the tombstone, I thought I was having a heart attack. Oh. My chest got heavy and tight, and mm-hmm. I was having trouble breathing. I mean, it scared the heck out of me, because one minute I'm fine, and the next minute, you know, I'm thinking that I was going to go down. And I didn't want to panic anybody, but I needed to sit down, so I pulled back away from the tombstone. And as soon as I wasn't touching it anymore, the symptoms went away.
Wow.
So to me, you know, I'm guessing that this was the imprint that this poor woman whose tombstone it was left behind. Perhaps how she felt as she was dying and wanted to share, you know, God knows. but have either of you ever experienced that kind of phenomenon or had a particularly unnerving experience in any of your visits?
I can't say that I have. I would also say that I'm not the most sensitive person in the world. I have been in cemeteries in the past that have not, you know, they're not, you don't get a good feeling from them, mm-hmm. I guess. But I can't say that I've ever had anything bad happen to me like that.
Cece?
You know, not really, because I go into it with the idea of taking photographs and interacting with them and trying to find out the history of a place. Mm-hmm. But the most interesting thing is going to a place where you get an uneasy feeling and you don't know it used to be a cemetery.
Yeah.
And the Presidio in San Francisco used to be cemeteries, a very large cemetery. But they dug them all up and moved them to Colma, California. But you walk in the Presidio and you just get that weird feeling.
Ah, yeah. Wow.
They didn't move all the bodies.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just the stones?
Just some of the stones, yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's not a cult corpse.
That cemetery in Denver, I forget the name of it, but they just put up a whole park on top of the cemetery.
Oh, God.
And there's houses really close by and everything, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, it might not, if you don't know and you don't believe, you might be just fine. But I think I would need disclosure before I moved into something like that without knowing. But cemeteries that are cemeteries, you know, I find them, you know, overall comforting, except for that one lady's tombstone, bless her heart. and I say that, you know, tongue in cheek right now because it was pretty bad. I have a question from the chat room, from John in the chat room, for both of you. What is your favorite and worst cemeteries?
Should I go first?
Yeah.
Go ahead, yes.
I don't want to talk over anybody. I have to say that my favorite cemetery, I have a number of them out here. I tend to like the something that's very, very old, or a garden-style cemetery. I would say that my favorite old cemetery is the, it's kind of a tie between the Granary and King's Chapel in Boston. And my favorite garden style would be Mount Auburn in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
How old?
The Granary goes back to Puritan times. I don't know how old the oldest stone is in those cemeteries, but I mean, we're talking, you know, Paul Revere and, you know, that genre, and prior to, that time. Mm.
Don't you feel deprived, Barbara? Because we don't have, Hollywood Forever goes back to like the 1890s, which is really old for us, but we don't have, I mean, and maybe it's just, I don't know, but we don't have cemeteries that go back to the 1600s, 1500s.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's understandable. This is kind of where, you know, this, they call Plymouth, you know, the birthplace of America, which is, you know, half an hour away from my house, and Boston likewise. So I'm in a great location historically. So let's see. I'm just looking. I'm cheating now. I'm looking in my little cemetery book. The Granary goes back to 1660.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's... let me see if I can find King's Chapel is 1630. So they're, you know, pretty close. So King's Chapel is actually older.
Wow.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And you purposefully
get
jealous.
Yeah. You get cemetery envy.
Oh, good.
I do that a lot. You know, I have friends who are, you know, taking photographs in England and in Europe and even in the eastern United States where the cemeteries are much older. We have a few very good Art Deco and that style cemeteries out here, but it's at the most early 1800s.
Right.
And you just don't have the charm and the elegance of some of the stones back on the East Coast. The artwork that was done was, you can't find that today.
No.
They just don't do that.
No.
Everything is plain.
Yeah. It's very true. And the thing about where on the West Coast you have, so what did you say, like the 1880s?
Mm-hmm.
Probably be about the oldest. So
sure,
you've got,
yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole different, the style of carving from
yes.
that time period compared with the earlier time period of, you know, the late six, you know, mid late 1600s. It's completely different. Completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cemetery, yeah, out here that I go to a lot, we have a millionaire row. So it has some of the European influence to it, the Monteverdi angels,
mm-hmm.
the pyramids, right down to the Sears and Roebuck headstones, which we can talk about later.
The Zinkies. Zinkies.
Yeah, the Zinkies. Yeah. We can talk about that, but you have a whole plethora of designs, but never anything like the really good early American stones with the skulls, with the wings on them,
right.
The hourglasses with the wings. They're just incredible.
Yeah. They're stunning. And I it's so hard to believe that they're still around. And I mean, obviously some have deteriorated, but so many are still in fabulous, pristine condition. I mean, it depends where they are, you know?
Exactly. And it's interesting, even when you get to the angels, I keep saying they age with grace and beauty, and they do. Mm-hmm. And it depends on where they are. You could have the same angel on the East Coast and the West Coast, but because the weather conditions are different,
right.
the atmospheric conditions are different, they age differently.
Mm-hmm.
And they all look differently after a while. It's beautiful.
It is. And I have to say, that was one of the angels. That was actually kind of the trigger for me that got me started with the photography, the cemetery photography. Was
the Monteverdi?
I was out in, you know, here in Massachusetts, in central Massachusetts. And, you know, we used to camp out there. And one day we stopped at this really cool cemetery, Hillside Cemetery. And there was this huge, you know, angel monument. And she was just stunning. And, you know, it was a little country cemetery. And I started taking pictures, and I started really noticing the carving. And that's what got me started, was that angel.
Let me ask you guys, because we're talking about trends and different headstones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that started up at Hollywood's forever, about maybe 10 years ago or so, was people started carving their pictures into the headstones.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you could just see the artists doing into the marble, and very, very lifelike. And I'll be honest, that kind of creeped me out just a wee bit. but then they started with these life-sized or bigger statues of the dearly departed person.
Oh,
which
wow.
was even creepier. I think, Barb, I think I sent you a picture of that man
yes.
sitting in his chair.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks just as ornery as all get out and angry. Well, yeah, of course he's mad. He's dead. But, you know, he's in that chair. And it's like, it's not like the eyes follow you. It's not that kind of a creep factor.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be the trend out here anyway, that people's faces are in there. You actually get to see the people. And I have to hand it to the artists that are doing those faces and stuff. They're wonderful at it. But I just kind of would rather not maybe see them, you know, and especially though if it's kids, you know, little children and stuff, that really hurts.
That's the hardest.
Yeah. So, Barbara, do you have those kinds of monuments?
There are some that have just the heads. And Anne can probably contest to this too. When you get into the Catholic cemeteries, a lot of times, not so much the other ones, but they also include death portraits or death photos on the tombstone, which is a whole nother group of photographers that do just that. But they age too. I'm not sure the application process into getting the photograph onto the stone. Yeah. But sometimes it was the person in a wedding dress. Sometimes it actually was the death portrait.
It's almost like bringing back Victorian photography to headstones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about is how lifelike these pictures are. And I see that a lot now on the new tombstones. And of course, I think they're all done with lasers, you know, much like you'd go to the supermarket and you say, would you put this picture on top of the cake? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like the process now with these tombstones, and it is kind of freaky, and I'm trying to find the words to describe how I feel when I see one of those, because it's as if you're sitting there, you know, you're looking at the person, but it touches you. Mm-hmm. I think, and whenever I see one of those, I just, and a lot of times you've got a lot of personal mementos around the stone to go with it. They're just really, really touching. It makes me pause. And as far as the pictures, the actual, as Barbara said, the death pictures, mm-hmm. I don't know that I've actually seen a death picture, but I know what you mean about they used to do that a lot. I think it was late 1800s, you know, whenever photography was more prevalent. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it all the way up into stones, you know, in the 40s and 50s, where they have a picture of the deceased on the stone. And I love those. I get so excited when I find one of those.
They are great.
They're really neat. I think those are neat.
But the hardest ones to look at are the children.
The children. Yeah, there was one I ran across out in, I think it was Western Mass, and it was they were little brothers, and they were like 4 and 5, and it was a picture of the two of them, and I was just like, oh my God, I want to cry. Mm. And it's just this beautiful, cute picture of these little boys, and I'm like, oh my God, what happened to them? You know, you don't know.
But see, that's kind of the interesting thing when you look at these tombstones and you're always, well, I am anyway, I'm looking at dates. How old was this person? And, you know, what did it say? And blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It gives you so much of an imagination to try and, especially in the wordings, in the older wording on the tombstones, mm-hmm. That you can almost kind of picture in your mind what kind of a life, what era this person lived in. You know, I mean, it's just kind of fascinating to sit and just think about it mm-hmm. and come up with things. And I mean, I know there are tombstones that do explain how these people passed.
Yes.
You know, which sometimes is interesting. I mean, there's, you know, the ones in Tombstone, Arizona, and some of the older ones, you know, the old Western ones that are really kind of amusing. You know, he was the second best shot in the West, you know, kind of thing. And so I love that kind of thing. And I like when people put humor on their stones. And a good mm-hmm. friend of mine passed in 2000. He was a writer, an Emmy Award-winning writer and stuff. I mean, very well-known in the industry. And on his tombstone, he just wrote very simply, "Thanks, I had a great time."
Aww.
And I thought that was kind of nice, you know. And like Merv Griffin says, I won't be back after this next commercial break. I mean, I have a chapter in one of my books on some of the funny headstone things. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, just to sit there and kind of think about these people and what they went through. And, you know, the ones that died early, like you said, you wonder what happened to those kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really rather amazing.
Yeah. There's one, and you talk about funny tombstones. There's one I came across up in Maine, and I'm trying to remember where. For the life of me, I can't remember where. But the woman put the recipe. She put a recipe on her tombstone.
Really?
And I'm like, what? And I forget. I want to say it was for some kind of ice cream, which is kind of bizarre. She put a recipe on her tombstone, and all I could think of was, you know, how sometimes you try and get a family recipe, and someone says, well, she's going to take that to the grave with her. Well, this one did. This one did. And all I could think of was, that's how she got people to the cemetery. You'll come and visit me because the recipe's on the grave.
Oh, my God. That's very clever.
I thought that was a riot.
That is great.
Yeah.
And but, I don't know if you visit columbariums, too, Anne, but there you find other things on the stones, too. The columbariums.
Like a crypt? Is that? Oh, well, okay. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I love those. I always peek through the windows.
Yeah. Well, also, where they inter the urn sometimes, it's I call it the Library of the Dead because it looks like a library. They're glass containers, and you just see the urn sitting there. But you see the most remarkable things that people leave, the grieving families, visitors, etc., not just the stones, but letters. And there was this really one touching one from a young kid to his grandmother who died, talking about how hard it was going through school and whatever and being picked on but not having her there to listen. So you get the whole process, not just the people in the history, the ones that are buried, but the survivors too.
Right. Right.
So some of the columbariums are beautiful. Hollywood Forever is two stories tall, and it's round. And it's got a big atrium in the middle. And then it's got all the urns and stuff, as you said, behind glass. I love going in there, but it's, you know, it's almost even more solemn than walking along the cemetery grounds.
Kind of. I get headaches going through them.
Do you? Oh.
And I'm not quite sure why.
We don't have a lot of those here. I think that's why when you said that, I wasn't really sure exactly what you were talking about.
The crypts too, because some of them are just gorgeous.
Yeah, we have the crypts, you know, like the family, but you can't generally go in them because people vandalize them.
Yeah.
What I do love is I always, if there's a glass door, I'm up and cupping my eyes to look in it because inevitably there's beautiful stained glass at the end of it that you really can't see too well from the outside.
Right.
But if you look through the front door, I mean, I'm always trying to get my camera in there in between, you know, if there's bars on the door to take a picture. It's pretty cool. You never know what you're going to find.
It is. It's an art form in itself, the glass, stained glass windows.
And
to be able to take the photograph with the sun just hitting just right so that you can get the right photograph, they're beautiful.
Absolutely.
I think I love mausoleums, and Hollywood Forever has like three big ones, huge ones.
That.
And the oldest one is where Rudolph Valentino and a lot of other people are buried. And it's the Catholic mausoleum. They have the Catholic mausoleum, the Jewish mausoleum, and the non-denominational mausoleum. But the Catholic one is really the oldest, and it has beautiful stained glass all throughout. I mean, it's just gorgeous. But what the first time I ever went in there, and I was a little kid, but they also have the 12 apostles, six on each side of the main entry. And the apostles are probably 8 or 9 feet tall in marble. They are beautiful.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're a little kid and you look down and you know they're the 12 apostles, it's like, I don't like it here. But they are gorgeous. And then they're down the hall, and then there's a big stained glass window behind them. And then there's, you know, little niches for urns and stuff right around there. But just gorgeous, but scary little things, you know, when you're young. And here's, it's like God looking down on you.
Those are pretty big for a little kid to look at.
Yeah, well, they're, even for a big kid, they're huge. But it's funny how each mausoleum has its own feeling. The Catholic one is very reverent. When you're in there, you're just aside from the apostles, you know, it's just very reverent in there. You want to be quiet. You want to kind of tiptoe around. The Jewish mausoleum is kind of the same way, although there are, you know, little, well, with me, I have strange luck in cemeteries. And I was in one of the mausoleums for a family member, and I just happened to lean back against a wall of crypts. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, the one that was about my butt level gave away.
Oh, no.
Apparently, I don't know if it was empty or not, but, you know, here we're in the middle of the ceremony, and I lean back and hear like that. And I just about died. Yeah. And what a place to just about die. I was so embarrassed. Everybody, like, turned at me like, oh, she's playing with the crypts again, you know, or something like that. But it was just really kind of an unfortunate thing that happened. So that mausoleum was kind of not quite as reverent as the Catholic one. And then the other non-denominational one, you just, it's laid out. They're all laid out so differently and built so differently that you're really kind of comfortable in this non-denominational one, not because you know it's not non-denominational, because it doesn't say, I mean, they all have different names, but, you know, they don't give it away. Well, the Jewish one does. It's Beth Olam. You can't miss that one. But the other two, you know, you just don't know. But it just, to me, it's kind of interesting how certain buildings, certain mausoleums and stuff, the huge ones, are so different in feeling. And, Barbara, you remember Gavin Cromwell that used to be on Para X. He's a medium mm-hmm. from the UK. And he came over, and we met him at Hollywood Forever. And he was absolutely astounded by these huge mausoleums, because he said they don't have those in the UK. They have the smaller ones, the family mausoleums, for sure.
Okay.
But he was like in awe. I could see his head was looking up and down, and he was going to get whiplash because these are really huge mausoleums. And they're, you know, none of them really brand new. I mean, the Cathedral Mausoleum, which was the first, the Catholic one, was probably built maybe at the turn of the century, turn of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And the other ones are a little bit newer, but still, it's interesting how different people have different sensibilities about, you know, public mausoleums versus private and stuff. What are they back east at, kind of? Do you have the big new ones or the...
We really don't. Anything that I have come across is usually just a private family mausoleum or a crypt. I don't really see that out here, big public, and maybe it's something newer that's going to come this way. But I have not come across those here, where everybody is kind of interred in them. We're still very much, you know, the cemetery, and it's you know, in the ground.
Yeah, Barbara, you didn't say which was your favorite cemetery, did you? And the one you like best or least?
Well, the one I love best, of course, is Mountain View Cemetery. That's where Millionaire Row is. It just has beautiful, beautiful statues. The Colma cemeteries, of course, the Italian cemetery there is beautiful. Mm-hmm. You can walk around, and it's interesting, and I don't know if you discover it too, but you can visit cemeteries more than once, sometimes a lot. Mm-hmm. And every time you go there, something changes. Like you turn a corner, you walk, or you drive down a road, and that wasn't there last time.
Oh.
And you look at the tombstone, and it's like 1812, and you're going, well, obviously it hasn't moved.
I just missed it last time. Yeah, I do that too. I will go back and say, Yeah, how did I miss that? Fabulous Stone. Or someone else will post it, and I'll say, where is that? And they'll say, oh, Burial Hill in Plymouth. And I'm like, all right, I've been there like 5 times, and how did I miss this stone? yes, definitely. I definitely do that.
Yeah. It's like the Doctor Who angel blink moment where it's like, don't blink because you're going to miss that statue right in front of you.
That's so funny. I have that little sticker right on my computer right in front of me. A friend of mine sent it to me. I love that. Those are my favorite kind of angels too.
Oh, they are. They're wonderful.
The scary ones. You don't like the Cupid ones. You want the ones that make you step back and go,
oh. I like all of them. There's this really formidable angel in Forest Hills, which is one of the ones that I said was my favorite. And I call her the kick-ass angel, and she's not stone. She's all verdigris. So I'm not sure what kind of metal is underneath. Probably, you know, bronze, something of that nature. And she's humongous. And she's green and she's gorgeous. If anybody is interested, I do have a page called Cemetery Tripping on Facebook. And I have albums and albums of photographs that I've taken. So if anybody wants to hop on there on Facebook, feel free.
I'm extremely jealous because you have the cemeteries with the fall foliage.
We
don't have that here.
No,
with
I've
the
never
what?
Seen it.
The fall foliage.
Fall. Yes. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Or snow.
That
I've
I'm
never
telling
seen
you.
An autumn leaf. And then, Barbara, you probably have because you're from.
Oh, Marla, you haven't?
No, it's terrible. I've been deprived.
Oh, my God.
We don't necessarily
I'm going to. I'm going to press some for you and mail them to you.
Oh, God. I need a GoFundMe page for that, right?
Yeah, we're just coming into that season here now, and I love that's my favorite time of year here. And it is gorgeous. I have the Mount, in particular, the Mount Auburn Cemetery album on my Cemetery Tripping page. I went there in the fall, and the colors are stunning. And it just adds to it. It just adds to it. It's gorgeous.
Do either of you have? Oh, sorry. Go.
No, I was just saying. There's something about fall. It's just in cemeteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they kind of you can feel the difference in a cemetery in the summer or in the winter. Mm-hmm. Well, winter. Yeah, like we really have winter, but you know. Well, we have to put on a sweater, right, Barbara? but yeah, I mean, it's just different. It's different. Okay, and here's the other thing that I love, and I hope a lot of cemeteries have this. Hollywood Forever has a big lake in the middle of it, and it has all kinds of critters living there. There are ducks, there are peacocks, there are geese, there are squirrels up in the tree. I mean, it's just almost like going to a petting zoo, except you don't get that close. But, you know, you'll be sitting there like under a tree and all of a sudden something will fall on your head and it's a squirrel knock something down. Or inquisitive geese will kind of waddle over to you and give you a look and walk away. I mean, I love when the cemetery has that kind of life in it as well as death. Yeah. It just kind of rounds it out to me.
Most places here, where I come from, have that. We have critters. We have lots of critters. Especially the garden-style cemeteries have lots of things like big, like especially Mount Auburn, because with a large garden style, has a huge pond in the middle of it, and Mary Baker Eddy has an enormous monument there overlooking the lake. And there's all those things. We don't have peacocks. I don't think they'd like it here in the winter. But all kinds of, yes, all kinds of, plants and trees. And it's actually you know, if you're into different types, what do they call that? Horticulture? They have that there as well as the tombstones. So, and the animals, but peacocks scream. They're scary.
They do.
Yeah. And one of them at Hollywood Forever is an albino peacock, which is even neater. Yeah. You know, and so you're walking along and, you know, and then there's the feral cats and,
yeah.
I don't know. I just, you know, to me, it's kind of like, okay, I love the critters. And they get, they're so used to people like feeding them. The geese are nasty. They're not friendly geese. The ducks are cute. But, you know, they'll walk right up to you looking at your hands to see if you brought some bread or something. And when you don't, they just turn around and they wiggle their butts at you and stomp off, you know. That's always kind of fun. And you were talking earlier a little bit about symbology on tombstones. And Barbara, I know you're interested in that too. Why don't you guys talk about that for a minute, the different, the most common things or maybe the weirdest things or, you know, because I think it's fascinating.
Okay. The thing here that dates from the time of the Puritans is called the Death's Head. And that is the skull with the wings that, you know, that was the design that was most commonly carved back in the 1600s and into the 1700s. And they liked to throw on the skull with the wings. That was, you know, basically, you know, to remind you of your own mortality with the skull, but yet your soul ascends to heaven. Hopefully. And they have the sexton's tools many times. So they have like a crossed pickaxe and shovel. They might have a coffin, the hourglass, and you'll see the winged hourglass. And the thing you see also from that time here is the, in Latin, memento mori, which basically translates to remember thy death, which is remember you're going to die. You see that a lot on those stones from that time period. And then I'm sure Barbara has seen more because you have those stones from the 1800s. That kind of morphed into a kinder, gentler thing, and they called that a soul effigy, which to replace the skull, the scary skull, was more of a cherubic, angelic face with the wings, usually. You must have seen these, Barbara.
Oh, yeah. They're common on Greek-like columns. Mm-hmm. They have the cherub faces, usually on all four corners of it.
Oh,
we also have sphinxes.
Oh, yes. There's a huge one in Mount Auburn. I love it. It's enormous. But, yes.
And then also the wheat, bale of wheat, I guess, sheaf, whatever, which is also for life. And ivy, and I can't remember which one is cut down for life. Cut down, died young.
A broken column.
It's a broken column, yes.
Column, yes. Yep. Yeah, there's so much. Of course, in the 1800s, which kind of went along with the soul effigy, you had the willow with the urn.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very traditional. I've gone through whole cemeteries, and of course, it depended on your local carver, and what he did, what was in his repertoire, you know. And I can go through some whole cemeteries. I'm like, willow in an urn, willow in an urn, willow in an urn, and it's kind of boring because it's so repetitive. But I mean, they're all beautiful if they're different, you know. And then you have the hands. You must have seen ones with hands on them. Yep, lots of hands.
Lots of hands. And the urn with the cloak
Yes.
Over it. That's a Roman time belief where they used to, they couldn't carry the dead, so they brought part of the body back in the urn and then covered it with the person's toga.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
So anytime you see that, it's mourned probably someone died away from home.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally okay. What that's for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
There's so much. There's books and books. A really good book, just if people are interested in learning about this. One of the first books that I got is called Stories in Stone by Douglas Keister, K-E-I-S-T-E-R. And do you have this one?
Yes.
It's a field guide. A field guide. And it has just a lot of stuff in a small book. That is an awesome book to get. So that was one of the ones that I started with. And I know here in Massachusetts, I use, this is like my Bible. It's a guide to Massachusetts cemeteries by David Allen Lambert. I don't leave home without it. It's in my car. It's dog-eared. It's written in. It's checked off. And I don't know how many other states have resources like this, but this is wonderful. If you can find a resource like that, because basically anywhere I am, I can look in this book and say, where is this a cemetery? And of course, they make apps now, too. They make apps. There's an app for that.
Wow. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
There's an app?
There is an app.
As I'm taking notes, scribbling.
Oh, God. My phone is in the other room. Yes, there's cemetery apps. Just hop in the if you have an Apple, hop in the Apple Store and you'll find them. I can't. Oh God, it's terrible to get old, isn't it? My phone's in the other room and I can't remember the cemetery app. But look them up; they're there. So.
Amazing.
Yes. Douglas Keister is one of those people who had the best stories from cemeteries, including the one in Colma, and I can't remember which cemetery it is, where they found the two hearts buried in glass jars.
Ooh, I haven't heard that.
I can't remember which book it's in, but it's...
I will have to look for that.
The stories. Now, speaking of cemetery tripping, I always ask this question because out here, not so much because most of the graves are newer enough where they all have vaults underneath the ground. But the older ones never did. Right. Are you ever concerned about going up to a stone, trying to photograph it, and your foot goes right into the ground?
I've honestly never thought about that. I will now. No, I've never thought about that.
That's
funny.
They do collapse.
Oh my God. I would be more worried about a stone collapsing in some of the cemeteries out here because of the age, but I've never thought about kind of going through.
Well, they're old enough back there where they probably have already done so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, out here it's not quite as much yet.
Mm.
The good news about grave vaults is no zombies.
No, that's right. They're stuck in there.
Yeah.
They can't get there, crawl their way out of the ground. We have things here. Now, what they used to do here in the 1700s is they had something called a wolf stone, and it was actually a big slab of granite, and it was put there to keep animals from digging up the dearly departed. But sometimes it kind of became a local legend out here that they put it there because maybe someone was a vampire or a witch. So that's an interesting bit of folklore.
Oh, yeah.
From this
standpoint. Along with what they call the mortsaves.
The mortsaves.
The wire rods that are put over the gravestones.
Oh, yes. Yes.
To prevent body snatchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they used to do that too. Yep. Yep. I have not run across one in my area, but I have seen photographs of them.
I'm shocked because I think there should be some around Massachusetts.
I'm sure there are. Yeah. Just haven't hit them yet.
They're quite elaborate iron rod fences, and they're usually curved over the gravestone. Mm-hmm. And they usually go down several feet. It's just to prevent people from digging up bodies for research.
The body snatchers.
The body snatchers.
Yeah, really. God. All right. We're going to start to run out of time, but I do have one question for both of you. Is there a cemetery anywhere in this world that you would absolutely give your eye tooth to visit?
Père Lachaise.
Chaise, yes.
Yes. The two of us are like, yeah.
Yeah. Like-minded.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that would be on the top of my bucket list, although...
Yeah. Don't know where it is. Tell
Scottish cemeteries, yes. English cemeteries, because they're not just hundreds of years old. They're centuries old.
Yes.
Yeah. Centuries, yeah, but yeah, Père Lachaise in France, yep, let's
would
go.
Be it. And the pyramids, because those were probably the biggest crypts in the world, would be awesome to see too.
Yes, yes, definitely agree. Barbara and I are going on a bucket list trip.
Road trip.
Would you consider the catacombs in Paris a cemetery?
Yeah I would.
I mean they don't call it that, but yeah, I mean,
but it really is.
Yeah,
as and, well and, as the Italian ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know the one in Romania there where the whole church is built of bone?
I love that.
I've heard of that, yes. That's frightening. That's really cool. I would love to see that too.
Mm-hmm. Road trip time.
Plan your itinerary, guys, because, you know, I mean, if you don't see it now, then you're going to have to wait till you die, and then you're going to have to fly over there, you know, blink of an eye, you know, all that stuff is spirit. But wouldn't it be nice to see it firsthand while you're still alive? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I would agree.
A big difference. All right. So before we definitely run out of time, this hour really, really did go by really fast. Really, really fast. I want to know, well, tell everybody, Anne, about Ghost Chronicles and about, you know, where they can find you on Facebook and your pictures again and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you. I am the co-host on Ghost Chronicles Next Generation. You can find us on Facebook by searching for that same name, Ghost Chronicles Next Generation. We're on every Wednesday night on toginet.com and 7 to 8 p.m. EST. And we talk about anything and everything paranormal. And my cemetery tripping page, also on Facebook. I'm low budget, no website, sorry. just do a search for cemetery tripping, and that's me. That's me.
That's great stuff.
If anybody needs a face painter, fabulousfacepainting.com. Woohoo!
Halloween's coming up. You never know. Well, Samhain, actually. Yeah.
And do you do the Day of the Dead type skull paintings?
Oh, yes, that's actually last Halloween. I was a sugar skull. I was a Dia de los Muertos lady, and I was a sugar skull. That was the face I did. I absolutely do that. A lot of fun.
Very cool. Barbara, talk about the view and your page, your Facebook page, has tons of your pictures too.
I do have a lot of my, way too many photographs on my Facebook page to look at. You can listen to us at the Paranormal View on Saturdays at, I believe it's, I have to do a time conversion here, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Saturdays for the Paranormal View. And yes, very low budget, Facebook page only, for lots and lots and lots of cemetery photos.
Nice.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, I had a great week just kind of looking at your sites, your Facebook pages, and looking at some of the pictures. I was actually going to steal a couple for the banner, and then I thought, no, I don't have the right to steal them. But you know, next time.
It would have been all right with me.
Well, you know what? I mean, this is such a fascinating topic, and I think, you know, we've only kind of touched the surface on it. And so we need to do this again at some point and share some experiences. We didn't even talk about things like taking pictures in the cemetery and if you ever got anything paranormal, for example, even if you weren't trying to, you know, that kind of thing.
Not even an orb.
Me either.
There's just a whole lot of stuff that we can still get into, and I think we need to do it again. So I want to thank you both for showing up. Barbara, great co-host. I love it when you come on because you are really smart, and I can just kind of like not worry about it. I just haven't learned not to talk over my co-host yet because I'm so used to doing it alone that, you know, we solitaries have issues with, you know, we don't have a group mentality sometimes, and it can get us into trouble. But anyway, we will do it again. And again, everybody go over and listen. Well, you can stay here at Pair X and listen to Ghost Chronicles.
That's right, yes.
I mean, Next Generation, Robert.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Ghost Chronicles. So you can stay here and listen to Pair X and Tokinet, which I always say wrong. So thank you, guys. It was fun.
I really appreciate it. It was awesome. Thank you so much.
And I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight, because otherwise we would have been here talking to ourselves, although we would have had a great time. It was like girls' night. You know, we would have done just fine. Yeah, talking about all that good stuff. But anyway, thank you for being here and listening to us anyway. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2014. Moonlight Hall by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.